We are Parakavi Mishnah Yud Zayin. Just before we start, just one or two quick ha'aras about the tkufa that we find ourselves in, the Corona tkufa. And that is, first of all, I think it's very important that we realize that everything that occurs in the world, especially global things, we could start getting into debates about little tiny things. Even that, it's mashma that everything that happens, even if a person stubs his toe, comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Gemara and Chulin says. But certainly major catastrophic things that are affecting the entire world, it's pashut that they're coming from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's no such thing as chance. There's no such thing as it just happens to be a virus finally got out and then it spread to this person, to that person, and now we're stuck in this situation and it's all nature, and all our avoda is to wash our hands and to make sure that we don't sneeze on people. It's pashut that everything that's happening is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is orchestrating events. That's number one. Number two, that's pashut, is that when things happen on a global level, it's all about Klal Yisrael. We think, oh, it's the Chinese, and they weren't responsible, and it got out and infected the rest of the world. Everything that happens on a global scale is some way and somehow connected to Klal Yisrael. And if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is bringing a tremendous peronis to the world, it's because of something that we need to learn. It's something that we need to do. We need to react. And reacting doesn't just mean to stay safe. That's also part of our avoda. But part of our reaction is that we need to be the ones to stem the tide. We need to be the ones who are able to address what's going on. Because if HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings something like this to the world, it's in order to teach us something. Now, we are not able to play the role of Nevi'im. So we don't know why Hashem did it. Everyone's going and saying, oh, this is it, Mashiach is coming. We always hope Mashiach is coming. And there have been many calamities throughout Jewish history where people thought Mashiach was coming, and then he didn't come. So we can't stand now and say, okay, this is finally it, Mashiach is coming now. Mirtz Hashem, Mashiach is coming now. We hope so. Hope he comes today. But we can't sit here as Nevi'im and say, this is why it's happening. What we can do is that we can react. And we can internalize. And we can respond. And always throughout Jewish history, the primary response to calamity, whether it's happening to Jews in Teaneck in the Five Towns, and in Eretz Yisrael, and in Los Angeles, and in Chicago, and in London, whether it's happening to Jews, or New Jersey, or Florida, whether it's happening to Jews, or whether it's happening in the Wuhan province of China, our response is tshuva. That's always our response. Our response always, first and foremost, is tshuva. And if you're going about your day the same way you've been doing every single day, you're just washing your hands a few more times, so then you're missing the point. And if you're missing the point, it's not going to stop. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to do tshuva. He wants us to better ourselves. He wants us to prepare the world for Mashiach. And if we're not going to do it without him bringing calamity, so then he's going to bring calamity in order to force us to do it. And I think that there are messages that we need to internalize. One of the messages, and you guys are at such a great age for this, because you're just coming of age, and you're starting to realize that the world is a serious place. Because up until your age, life is just fun, fun, fun. And it's video games and it's sporting events. And everything's great. And then, as you get older, you start to realize, wow, life is really very serious. And that's something that always occurs right around your age. But even more so now, you're zochet to get a tremendous message. And that message is that nothing is secure without a HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We are vulnerable. Whether it's financially vulnerable and people whose businesses are connected to the many industries that are being affected by the coronavirus are getting that message very clear. If you own a restaurant, if you own travel insurance company, if you're in the hotel industry, if you're in the catering industry, so you're feeling this. You're out of a job right now. And it doesn't look like anytime soon you're going to be getting into a job. And you're realizing that my finances, our health. I mean, we can't even see the thing. Everyone's talking about how there are these silent, you know, I don't want to say silent killers, but this silent mazik that's going around. People, 50% of the people who get coronavirus are asymptomatic, which means that someone in this room, chas v'shalom, might have coronavirus, and none of us realize. And he doesn't realize because he doesn't have fever and he's not coughing. And you're going around, you're buddy-buddy with him, and all of a sudden you get sick. It's invisible. We can't see this thing. It's so tiny. It's microscopic. And yet we can't figure out how to stop it. Why is it that mankind can figure out how to get human beings onto the moon? We can get a person out of the Earth's atmosphere. We can get them onto the moon. And we can't stop one tiny little bug from getting the whole world sick? I mean, aren't we technologically advanced? Aren't we able to do brain surgery? Aren't we able to split an atom? Aren't we able to build rocket ships? Why can't we stop a single cell from just wreaking havoc across the entire world? Because we're vulnerable and we're weak. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to realize that. In the Makos, we're going to be coming into Pesach very soon. In the Makos, why did the Makos happen? Was it just to punish the Mitzrayim? Is that what the Psukim say? The Psukim say, you know why the Makos happened? Liman Teida, ki ani Hashem bekerav aretz. Liman Teida, ki ani Hashem. Liman Teida, the Ramban points out that it keeps saying Liman Teida. The Makos were there to teach us something. They were there to help us realize that Hashem runs the world. They were there to teach us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Baal HaBayis, that we're not in control. Financially, health. That's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought the Makos, the Ramban says. Yeah, it also punished the Egyptians, but that's not why. That's not the primary reason. When something like this is occurring, we need to ask the question of what is Hashem trying to help us internalize? And we don't know the answer. But there are certain things that are pashut. It's pashut Hashem wants us to see that He runs the world. And everyone needs to take a step back. And a person has to say, you know what, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I realize I'm in your hands. I realize that you run the world. I realize that I'm not in control. That's one thing that a person needs to internalize. Is that why God's doing that? I don't know, I'm not a Navi. But is that an appropriate response? Because what Hashem for sure wants is Hashem wants us to respond. So if we respond with tshuva, if we respond by better recognizing that Hashem runs the world... And lastly, I'll give one other response that I think is very appropriate. And that is, develop a relationship with Sefer Tehillim. Because when you're helpless, and there is no medicine. When you're helpless, you can only open up a Sefer Tehillim and turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Obviously, we do all the ishtados, we wash our hands, and we follow all of the instructions of the Ministry of Health. That's pashut. But we turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with a Sefer Tehillim. We all know that someone very close to our community is suffering very greatly from the coronavirus. And there's been a tremendous outpouring of people davening for him. And it's been very inspirational to see nonstop on the WhatsApp group for Tefillah how people keep doing more Tehillim and more Tehillim and more Tehillim. I think just if you're walking around with a Purell in your pocket, or if you're walking around being careful to wash your hands, how can you not walk around with a little Sefer Tehillim in your pocket? And when you get a free moment, you say another Kapitel of Tehillim. It's nice to follow the group, but you don't even need to be on the group. The group was a great, great jump start. Now get a Sefer Tehillim, start from Kapitel Aleph, and every once in a while, every hour, every 2 hours, do Aleph, do Beis, do Gimel. If you have an English one, even better. Understand the words. But develop a relationship with Sefer Tehillim. Develop a relationship with yourself and with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This has to be the response that we have at this time because we can't do anything else. We're not chemists. We're not able to sit in a laboratory and figure out a medicine. We're not in the pharmaceutical industry. We can't figure out a vaccine. All we can do is daven. And you know what? It could be davening is going to be the secret to finding the vaccine. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu should help all the people who are suffering, should get a tremendous refuah shalema. And you each have to look at Ein Puras Bol Yisrael, Olam El Bishvil Yisrael. Every person here has to look that they at it, that they have a responsibility to help the world. Not just to get on a plane and get home. It's not a, that's not our mission. Okay, if you're doing that also, that's good. If you feel like that's the right move. But our responsibility is to daven for the cholim. Our responsibility is to daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to make ourselves better people, to do tshuva. You want this to bring Mashiach? So you got to do something to make the world more fertile for Mashiach to come. He can't show up if the room's not set. The room has to be set. The table has to be set. The room has to be cleaned. And then Mashiach can come in. Okay, so Hashem should help. He should send all of us. He should send everyone who's sick or foolish. He should send all of us the inspiration to come closer to Him. Be'ezras Hashem. Okay, we are up to... Have a quick question?
Neri wanted me to give his back to you.
Who did?
Neri.
Oh, thank you very much. Okay. We are up to Mishnah Yud Zayin. Hu haya omer. Yofa sha'achas b'tshuva u'maisim tovim b'olam hazeh mikol chayei ha'olam haba. Okay, very interesting. I mentioned to you that people misunderstand Epicurean philosophy, and they think that Epicurus was just like this party animal, and he just said, okay, we're going to die at some point, so we might as well just like, and there's no afterlife, so we might as well just have fun. So let's just party and have a great time. And I said, I don't think that that's what gained him his position in the annals of great Greek philosophers. I think what his argument was, and again, it's Thera, it's absolute apikarsis, Epicurean apikarsis. It's absolute apikarsis. But he said, there is no future, there is no afterlife, and therefore make this existence meaningful. Make this existence meaningful. You know, if you had 20 minutes with someone who was passing away, and you have 20 minutes to share with them. I know that when my grandfather was very sick, so he set up meetings with everybody in the family, and everyone had a meeting with him before he passed away. And you think you have that 20 minutes. You know, what are you going to do during that 20 minutes? Even if you have a great conversation. I mean, 20 minutes is so quick. It's over in a second. Like, was that really so important, those 20 minutes? And the answer is yes. That's very, very important. If anyone's lost someone, if you could get 20 more minutes with them, that's very meaningful. Oh, but it's over very quickly. And once it's over, it's over. But that doesn't mean that during that moment it wasn't of tremendous value. The Epicurean philosophy, I think, argued that there is no Olam Haba, so at least make the experiences you have in this world, make them meaningful. So go on a nice walk with your child, play a game with them and enjoy them, because that's all we really have anyway. And I think the Mishnah here is saying that there's an element of truth there. Not the part of there is no Olam Haba and therefore enjoy the world. No, no, there is Olam Haba. But that doesn't mean that you can't make the moments meaningful. And I think that for me at least, this is a major focus in my life. I've never been comfortable living my whole life just focused on Olam Haba. Everything's about Olam Haba, Olam Haba, Olam Haba. I've always been very taken with the idea that, yes, there's Olam Haba, and everything we do prepares for us an amazing Olam Haba, and I'm not taking away from that idea. But that doesn't mean that we can't make the moments meaningful also. We can make the moments enjoyable. Listen, sometimes the moments are not enjoyable. Sometimes life is not good. Sometimes life stinks. And we have to remind ourselves that we're doing things, though, that we're not only doing things to make ourselves have a good life here. It's not just about having a nice car and a nice house. And you know what? We sometimes make sacrifices, and we're not going to live in as nice of a house. We're not going to drive as fancy of a car because we're going to accomplish things that are going to bring us a greater future, a greater Olam Haba. But that doesn't mean that the things that we experience here aren't meaningful. And here, you get a real focus, hyper-focus on the present. Where what are we told by Rabbi Yaakov? Remember, this is the same Rabbi Yaakov who said the whole Olam Hazeh is only a prose tour to Olam Haba. That sounds like this world's not meaningful. Everything's only for Olam Haba. This world's just a corridor. Then comes Rav Yaakov and says, but you should be aware that Yofa Sha'achas B'tshuva Ma'isim Tov B'Olam Hazeh Mikoch Olam Haba. There is, now I don't think he means it's more valuable than Olam Haba. What he means is on a certain level, there's a value to a moment of doing something meaningful in this world that has on some level a mila over Olam Haba. Doesn't mean that it's better than Olam Haba. It's not better than Olam Haba. Olam Haba is the ultimate on a certain level. But what it means is that we can accomplish certain things here in this world that we can't accomplish in the next world. That's for sure. That's the famous story with the Groh, when the Groh was crying on his deathbed. And they asked him, why are you crying? What, you have a suffix if you're going to Olam Haba? And he said, no, but in this world is my only opportunity to gain more mitzvos, to ultimately be closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And I'm crying because I'm losing that opportunity. So there's that element of Yafasha Achas Petshuva Maisim Tov Me'Chalam Haba. But I can't escape thinking that it's not just, oh, this world is where we earn, and therefore there's a value to this world over the next world. I think there's another message here, which is that there is a value to the moments in this world. When you're doing a mitzvah, when you're davening, when you're learning Torah, you have to, if you're just sitting and learning and saying, okay, I'm clocking for Olam Haba, I'm clocking for Olam Haba. That's it, your whole 80 years, 90 years, 120 years, it's all just clocking. No, you need to enjoy the moment as well. Learning Torah can be tremendously enjoyable. Tefillah can be tremendously enjoyable and meaningful. Again, when I say enjoyable, it's not like video game enjoyable. It's meaningful. It's ennobling. And a person has to seek to find meaning and sipuk in Avodas Hashem. If you only do Avodas Hashem because you've decided it's a good cheshbon for the next world, I don't think you'll be able to do it with passion. I don't think you'll be able to do it long term. You have to learn to appreciate the beauty in the moments of Avodas Hashem. And today, for instance, a lot of guys are not here. A lot of guys have left already. Right? What do we have? We have like 10 people in the room. Exactly, 10 people in the room. We have a minion of people. Kifi the Hora'ot of the Misrad HaBriyut. 10 people in the room. So we're going to have a morning Seder now. We're going to be learning through Makoros. And we have to say, okay, I'm not just clocking for Olam Haba. I'm not just passing time until my flight, that's for sure. And I'm not just clocking moments, but there's a value into this itself, this moment. Then the Mishnah continues, but be aware that but you have to realize that with all that being said, there is, from a different perspective, a Shah Achas of what it's going to be, the Geshmak of Olam Haba, is more valuable than anything of Olam Hazeh. And here we take the opposite approach. You think that driving a Ferrari is an amazing experience, roll down the windows, blast the radio, and drive a Ferrari, and it's an amazing feeling? You think that's an amazing feeling? Eating a nice geschmack piece of steak, you think that that's an amazing feeling? It is. Olam Haba's a million times better. Okay, get your favorite steak in your best Ferrari, with your favorite music, driving down Moynihan Drive, is that Moynihan Drive, and you're thinking like, ah, oh, this is it? That's nothing. Olam Haba is 3,000 million times more geschmack than that. Okay, but we're not there yet. So the Mishnah here, I feel like this Mishnah is tremendously important. All right, maybe we'll read Rabbeinu Yonah on this Mishnah, Emir Hashem, tomorrow. Okay, what are we doing today? I have Makoro sheets for you. You have Shir is going to be at 12:15 to 1.
It's not on this.
12:15 to 1. I'm giving you Makoros. The Makoros are on the sugya of how many matzahs do you need at the Seder? It's a machlokas rishonim. And how much of the three, we're going to see the other opinions, and how much of the matzah do you need to eat? Is it a kazayit or is it more? So you're going to learn a lot today. So everything you just said is shonim b'machlokas. So we're going to learn through some of these Makoros today. They're not super long. Mirtz Hashem, you should be done by 12:15. 12:15 to 1, we have Shir in here on something else. We're going to do a little halacha. Maybe we'll start the Haggadah a little bit. That's going to be from 12:15 to 1. And then this evening at 6:30, I'm going to be giving online, live. Ooh. Live, online. We're going to be having Shir on this. And in Mirtz Hashem, some of our Chaverim from Chutz Laretz will be logging in as well. Some of you might be on the plane, so we'll also record it and we'll send it out onto the WhatsApp group so you can listen to it. That'll be Shir on this. And then we're going to try doing that format.